The following was recorded at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Thank you for being with us. We start on a heavy note today, the loss of an airliner. There's still a lot we don't know about what happened to Egypt Air Flight 804. Here's what we do know. It was en route from Paris to Cairo early this morning. The Airbus 320 was cruising at 37,000 feet. Moments later, the plane went down. The World's Matthew Bell is here in the studio with me. Aside from what I just stated, Matthew, what else is worth pointing out about the crash so far?
So the flight, Marco, took off late last night from Paris. Just before 2:30 in the morning, the pilot spoke with air traffic controllers in Greece. Apparently, there were no problems. But then just a few minutes later, the airliner made a sudden 90-degree lurch to the left. Then it made a turn to the right, did a full 360 and dropped out of the sky. This is all from flight data information that people have tracked. This all happened above the Mediterranean Sea, about halfway between the island of Crete and the Egyptian coast. We don't know why this happened to the plane, but it increasingly looks like it did crash and it was catastrophic.
What are government authorities saying at this point?
French President François Hollande came out and said that no hypothesis would be left aside. He mentioned terrorism, said they'd be looking at that possibility. The aviation minister from Egypt went a bit further. He said that terrorism was probably a more likely cause than a mechanical issue for this crash. Egyptian officials have confirmed that some wreckage from the flight has been found in the water. But again, there's an awful lot that we don't know at this point. U.S. officials, for their part, have expressed condolences. They say that they're not ruling anything out at this point and that the United States is providing assistance with the search effort.
What about the passengers on board?
There were 66 people. That includes 10 crew members, about half of them Egyptians, 15 people from France, two Iraqis, and then one person each from a number of countries: Algeria, Belgium, Britain, Canada, Chad, Kuwait, Portugal, Saudi Arabia, Sudan. Marco, I saw some video online of people who had gone to the Cairo airport this morning. They were coming out of the building. They had talked to airline officials, apparently, and they were just shaking their heads, obviously distraught, and just said, we have no information, that they were being told really no details at all.
Some experts have been saying throughout the day that sabotage may be increasingly likely, citing lax controls at airports and loose hiring and security policies. And that just wouldn't be only at Charles de Gaulle Airport, would it? Not in this case.
Exactly. That's a hugely important question. But to make it even more complicated, you just look at this one plane had actually touched down on the ground in four different countries in just the previous 24 hours. It was in Eritrea. It had been in Tunisia, in Egypt, and in France. So you look at the reality of the international aviation system the way it is right now, and security is really only going to be as strong as the weakest link.
The World's Matthew Bell, thank you.
Thank you.
Juliet Kayyem is a former counterterrorism official with the Obama administration. She now teaches at Harvard and is the author of Security Mom. You tweeted earlier after one of today's earlier press conferences, Juliet, "No point dithering on what is known already. Unforgivable press conference." Why'd you say that?
Well, at that stage, the Egyptian spokespeople were even unwilling to say that the plane was down. They were still calling it missing. Meanwhile, an hour before, you had the French president saying that the plane went down. And anyone knew by that stage, and you certainly just know from experience, that planes do not go missing for hours on end. At that stage, it was a couple hours without there being some kind of failure. We don't know what that failure is yet. And look, this is coming from the perspective of a history of concerns about Egypt and Egypt Air, about their transparency in these airline accidents.
How have you seen the response to the tragedy kind of unfold throughout the day? Or you think there's been kind of an attempt to avoid jumping to conclusions as time has moved on?
Yes, there is. And I think that's right. But I also don't want to be blind to the reality that airplanes do not fall out of the sky for no reason. And there are a limited number of reasons at this stage. So one is catastrophic mechanical failure. The second is pilot error. And the third is something that we don't have to call it terrorism, but it is deliberative, right? Whether it's a passenger or a pilot or something put on the plane through luggage or, of course, at an airport facility. There was no SOS from the pilots. The erratic behavior, at least it seems like, of the plane, and other aspects that do not conclude that this was a deliberate attack, but certainly do not suggest that it is not.
You also tweeted earlier in response to the press conference earlier today, being defensive is not a good strategy. So, you know, not wanting to jump to the terrorism conclusion, right, but also wanting to be thorough. What's your best advice on what tone to strike?
So this is the hardest thing in any crisis, but it is full transparency at this stage. So this is not about Egypt. It is not about Egypt Air. It is not about the future of tourism in Egypt. It is about the people who lost their lives and their family members. And it is also about the future, the sort of safety and security of our global airline industry. Are there gaps in security? Where are those gaps? And how do we close them? Because what I know for sure is that the airplanes have to keep flying. You know, we live in a global environment and a global aviation environment in which you cannot stop airline travel while we wait to figure this out.
Juliet, I'm also curious, when you were at Homeland Security, what was a kind of routine and also speed with which, like one security detail of Nation A would pick up the phone to Nation B and start getting information?
Oh, it's minutes. Even last night when the plane went missing, what automatically happens is a determination of whether the citizenship of the passengers and, of course, a manifest review through terrorist watch lists. So that would have happened literally within 2 to 3 hours. The second issue, at least from the U.S. perspective, is going to be if there were any U.S. citizens. There aren't any, which means that the U.S. will be in a passive assistance phase, that it will offer help to Egypt and or France, but it won't have any, you know, legal or even political jurisdiction at this stage.
What clues are there to explore at this point for you?
The extent of the debris at this stage. Right. You know, does this look like an explosion or did the plane go down relatively intact? That physical evidence is going to be the differentiator, and we'll know that relatively quickly. And then, of course, the debris will give some clue as to whether there are explosives. And then the search for this black box that we are always searching for after all of these flights, people like me, people in the aviation industry now believe there has got to be a better way. But, you know, we're still looking for that black box.
Former counterterrorism official Juliet Kayyem. She now teaches at Harvard and is the author of Security Mom. Juliet, thanks as always.
Thank you.